living can be existing, and there can be some remembering something of such a thing. Family living can be existing, and some can come to be old ones and then dead ones.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
This is Jim Sklavounis of Grinderman, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC, Accra.
WGXE welcomes audio responses and feedback from listeners. Anyone can call and leave a message and we'll play it on the air. Call area code 518-622-2598 and leave up to a 3-minute message for airplay. That number again is 518-622-2598.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Alex of Tivoli, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate. And establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Hi everyone, it's Lily, the youth peer leader from Mental Health Association of Columbia Green County's Clubhouse. Are you a teen wanting to learn more about health education? Maybe you're looking to complete your volunteer hours or in need of a job. The weekly teen clinic on Wednesdays from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Family Planning, located on the third floor of the county building on Main Street in Catskill, can help you answer any of your questions. Information can be found at greengovernment.com. Hope to see you there.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, May 2nd. Local early morning temperatures range from 52 degrees in Medusa to 60 in Tannersville. Regional average soil temperature is 53 degrees. Pollen levels will be high today but should drop to medium levels for the weekend. Looks like rain could be about early this morning and this afternoon starting around 4 p.m. A high temperature of 80 degrees will linger most of the afternoon. Overnight should be dry. We get a low of 59 degrees. Saturday will be rainy all day, especially in the afternoon. A high of 75 happens at 1 p.m. Overnight temperatures fall to 56 degrees. Sunday, more rain all day long. Chance for some lightning in the afternoon. Monday, rain keeps on rolling. We get a high of 61. Sunset today will be at 7:40 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:46 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 10%. Plasma winds will be average at 542 kilometers per second with a thin density of 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently being impacted on all frequencies with an S4 level noise floor. There are low chances of aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 59. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
The Public News Service Friday afternoon update. I'm Mike Clifford. President Donald Trump signed an executive order Thursday evening seeking to prohibit federal funding for NPR and PBS, the public broadcasting service. The order, which could be subject to legal challenge, called the broadcaster's news coverage biased and partisan. That from the Washington Post. They report and instructs the Corporation for Public Broadcasting to cease providing direct funds to either broadcaster. It also orders the CPB to cease indirect funding of the services through grants to local public radio and television stations. Next, a 19-year-old New Yorker is one of 237 Venezuelan immigrants sent to an El Salvador supermax prison last month.
Merwil Gutierrez lived in the Bronx with his father Wilmer when he was arrested under suspicion of being in the Tren de Aragua gang, although he has no criminal record in the U.S. or Venezuela. Since then, his father has been working to get him home. Paz Radovic, with the news outlet Documented, covers the immigrant community in and around New York City. She says the ordeal has damaged Wilmer Gutierrez's faith in the American dream.
He contacted a lot of police stations, and no one was able to give anything about where Merwil was. So that silence is what Wilmer resents the most, not just the arrest itself, but the feeling of being left in the dark. And that has made him think about if coming to the U.S. was worth it or not.
Merwil Gutierrez had a pending asylum case in New York City. A 60 Minutes investigation has found 179 of the people deported to El Salvador have no criminal records. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
Meantime, thousands are expected to rally in Harrisburg Monday for a Raise the Wage and Immigrant Rights Day of Action. Our Daniel Smith has more.
More than 47,000 Pennsylvania workers earn the minimum wage of $7.25 an hour or less. Jared Smith with Service Employees International Union says Pennsylvania hasn't raised its minimum wage in over 15 years, while more than 30 other states and Washington, D.C. have all moved towards $15 an hour. Smith says this makes it harder for the state to stay competitive.
We are demanding that we raise the wage in Pennsylvania to $15 an hour, that we include a cost of living adjustment so that we don't have to keep coming back year after year.
Smith says a coalition, Pennsylvania Stands Up, is leading the protests backed by labor and community groups and some lawmakers.
GOP lawmakers have recently introduced the Food Security Farm Protection Act. It's an attempt to repeal California's landmark animal welfare law known as Proposition 12, which makes minimum space requirements for breeding pigs, egg-laying hens, and veal calves, and bans the sale of meat raised in non-compliant settings. Rebecca Wolf is with the nonprofit Food and Water Watch.
This has been the big ag playbook for quite a while. Big ag doesn't want to be told what to do by states. And so it puts Republicans in a really interesting position that pits them kind of between big ag and more of a states' rights framework.
This story was produced with original reporting from Seth Milstein for Sentient. This is Public News Service. A Minnesota proposal is in the works that supporters say would end forced labor in correctional facilities. They note the 13th Amendment was adopted nearly 160 years ago, but they believe a form of slavery is still present in America's prisons.
Advocacy groups point to wording in the Minnesota Constitution that there should be no slavery in the state, with exceptions for punishment for a crime. They say incarcerated people are exploited by having to work for 50 cents an hour, providing them little money to pay victims back, support their families, or have resources to rebuild their lives post-release. Aaron Ernst, who served time in Minnesota, says this overshadows other reforms.
You know, the rehabilitation part is kind of there, and then the reconnection to the community is just non-existent.
The End Slavery in Minnesota Coalition is working with lawmakers on a bill for next year's session to classify these individuals as legal workers with specific rights. I'm Mike Moen.
And Montana's wildlife risk is now 74% higher than other states. Experts encourage Montanans to think ahead on Wildlife Community Preparedness Day, May 3rd.
When wildfires ignite homes, an ember or small flame is usually to blame, according to the National Fire Protection Association. That means prep work in the immediate zone or the 5 feet surrounding a home is effective. Chief Engineer Ann Cope with the Insurance Institute for Business and Home Safety says that zone is critical because that's where wind eddies deposit embers and where flammable materials, including mulch, bushes, and stacked firewood, tend to be.
When you bring those two things together, boom, that's where that teeny little fire is going to start that you could have just stomped out with your boot. That is sadly what's going to take down a house.
Cleaning roofs and gutters, installing metal mesh screening over open vents, repairing damaged shingles and window screens, and removing items stored under porches are simple ways to prepare for wildfire season. I'm Kathleen Shannon.
Finally, peak bird migration is underway in Indiana. Rare species are moving through parks, forests, and backyards across the state, and more Hoosiers are watching.
Indiana lies along a major migratory flyway. Experts say it's one of the best states to spot birds in spring. Marion University biology professor David Benson is one of the world's top birders. He says the hobby helps people understand what birds need to survive.
If you're interested in a particular bird species, you need to know what habitat they live. We need to protect some of these different habitats. Some of the birds that are declining the most here in Indiana are the prairie species.
Up to 150 species can pass through in a single day. Top viewing spots include Eagle Creek Park, Fort Harrison, and southern Indiana's deep forest ravines. This story was produced with original reporting from Enrique Sines for Mirror Indy. I'm Joe Ellery reporting.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Find your trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Telegraphs come to mind, but it bears a certain kind of time. Circle back inside and find.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. Kids love to teach grown-ups about all kinds of things.
We all know that kid who can name all of the dinosaurs or list all of the presidents or will talk to you endlessly about soccer or dance or gymnastics or whatever their passion is.
Ruth Spiro is a children's author. Her new book, How to Explain Climate Science to a Grown-Up, encourages kids to add climate change to that list. In the book, a child teaches a man how burning fossil fuels for energy creates carbon pollution that warms the climate. The child also points out the effects of that warming, such as trees that are blooming earlier each spring because of warming temperatures. And the pair visits the seashore to see how rising seas have made the beach smaller. Then the book gives kids suggestions for how their families might help reduce climate change, for example, by choosing to walk instead of drive. Spiro says she wants the book to help kids learn the science behind global warming and address some of the anxieties they might be feeling about the impacts of climate change.
I don't want them to feel like they have the weight of saving the world on their shoulders, but I do want to empower them to know that there are things that we can do, there is a path forward, and they can definitely help.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Exploring Science in the Sea. The journey around Cape Horn, at the southern tip of South America, is one of the most treacherous in the world. The Cape has claimed hundreds of ships and thousands of sailors. Not many commercial vessels make the journey today. But for sail-powered yachts, rounding the Cape is a big attraction, like climbing Mount Everest. Cape Horn is named for the hometown of the Dutch navigator who described it in 1616. It's a small island that features a cliff a quarter of a mile high. The Cape is where the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans meet. The confluence generates strong currents. Those currents are magnified by the contours of the ocean floor, which features many sunken islands. The region is in the furious 50s, latitudes of more than 50 degrees south. Strong winds blow from west to east. Those are funneled by the mountains of South America and Antarctica. That creates a wind tunnel effect, so winds almost always blow at gale force. And they frequently top hurricane force, battering any ships that challenge the passage. In addition, icebergs are common features, and storms bring heavy rain, hail, sleet, and snow. That all combines to make a journey around Cape Horn especially challenging. The opening of the Panama Canal in 1914 provided a safe shortcut between the east and west coasts of the Americas. But big tankers, naval vessels, cruise ships, and private yachts still round the Cape, one of the most dangerous ocean voyages in the world. Science in the Sea is a production of the University of Texas Marine Science Institute at Port Aransas. I'm Holly Brawley.
90.7 FM.
Acre, Hudson, Catskill.